You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
My favorite operations and cleaning tool. Come on, everyone. You know what it is by now. It's Breezeway. It just got a whole lot better for Airbnb hosts.
Breezeway's platform has always helped hosts manage work like cleaning, maintenance, and inspections at their properties. But now their technology is integrated with Airbnb, which means you can connect your Airbnb reservation info with Breezeway, helping you save even more of your precious time, like automatically notifying your cleaners on a new reservation or changes to an existing reservation.
You can use Breezeway to schedule cleaning, inspections, and maintenance tasks using smart checklists and automated messaging to maintain a consistent guest experience.
Connect your Airbnb guest reviews with individual tasks in Breezeway. For example, fridge stopped working and the guest mentioned it in your review, a Breezeway maintenance task will help you make sure it gets fixed as soon as possible.
Respond to guest messages all in one platform. Hosts can now view and respond to Airbnb message threads within the Breezeway platform.
And that's not all. The Breezeway Guide is a personalized digital welcome book, and they also have Breezeway Assist, a 24-hour call service supplemented with Breezeway's AI-driven engine, are also connected through this Airbnb integration.
There are so many things that Breezeway can help you tackle, so check out Breezeway for yourself. TFE listeners will receive free implementation when you decide to make Breezeway a part of your hosting operational strategy, just like Annette and I have. Visit breezeway.io/TFE to learn more. That's breezeway.io/TFV. Hey, hey, welcome back for another great week. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for visiting. We're going to kick off this episode like we do every week, and that's sharing one of you, our amazing listeners, who's using our hashtag, STR Share Sunday. We will share you here on the podcast, in our email, on the gram, all the places that we can. Mm-hmm. Annette, who are we sharing this week?
Today, we are sharing at the Texas A-Frame. Again, that's at the Texas A-Frame. And they actually have two properties. They have an A-Frame and a container home. And listeners, I want you to go to their Instagram because we talk about this all the time. They have multiple properties and they're doing it underneath one Instagram. It's a lot to manage, managing your life, managing your property, and then managing social media. So Sarah and I always say, try to keep it simple, which they are. And it's very clear. They have two different properties in two different cities. And I'm just going to say it. It is beautiful. I haven't seen a feed this beautiful in a long, long time. I mean, you're going to get lost in it and go and like every picture. One thing that I love, they have a horseshoe wall. Mm-hmm. Like they've made that design. I'm sure, I don't know the price of horseshoes, but it seems like it's a very affordable wall of art. And I thought it was just a great accent wall in the Texas country where they are. Another thing that I noticed that I haven't seen in too many places, if at all, is they have a specific meditation area with a meditation mat. And I was like, oh, and like pillow. And I thought that was lovely. They have also like a cowboy pool almost and a hot tub, but they're like built in to the property. So I want you to check out how well they have designed the amenities. And it is just super, super photogenic these houses are. So if you're looking for some design inspiration, maybe some travel inspiration, please check them out. Again, it's at the Texas A-Frame. Well done. We will have to put it on our wish list.
And if you want to know how you can be featured on STR Share Sunday, all you have to do is be on the gram.
Use the hashtag.
We are prowling it all the time. We want to share you. So,
and let's talk about it. This guest has been featured.
Yes.
As a STR share. See, this is how it starts, people. She was using the hashtag and then it turned into now she's on the show. And I have to admit, and I'm going to let her fix it. I am not going to guarantee when I feature your property that I'm not going to botch the name of your property. So please just, I'm going to ask for forgiveness ahead of time and probably after. But Sarah, let's talk about our guest today.
Yeah, today we have Addie, who is a remote cabin super host from Northern Minnesota and has been hosting for almost 2 years and renovated or built 3 cabins on 62 acres, which is no easy feat. She has a passion for creating unique stays and helping people unplug and reconnect with nature. She's a marketing expert and has built an Instagram audience of 10,000 plus, an email list of 500 in 1 short year. Also, no easy feat. Her cabins are greater than 75% occupied year round. So for all of you out there wondering like where your bookings are, I think Addie is going to be the perfect person to clue us in on how she's been able to keep her calendar. I think outside of Minnesota, 75% occupancy. So Addie, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
All right, Addie, let's clear up my faux pas. Let's give your Instagram handle a shout out right out of the gate. Go ahead. Correct me.
It's Ely Log Cabin. So it's spelled E-L-Y.
Okay. And is Ely the city?
Yes, that's okay. The name of the city.
So I should have researched that. But
all right. Or I should say town. Very small town.
Okay. Okay. Again, I botched it. I cannot win here. All right. Talk to us. Tell us about this adventure that you're on and these remote cabins with solar power. How did this get started? Is this a dream or did you fall into it? Give us the background.
Yeah. So I actually grew up in this small town and I moved away when I was 18, went to college, moved to the city. So I currently live in Minneapolis, which is 4 hours away from Ely. But Ely is up north and it's a really special, really popular tourist small town. It's one of the 2 entry points for the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. I didn't realize how special of a place it was until I moved away and I went to college and I was in the working world and people would ask where I'm from and I'd say Ely and everybody knew it, even though it's just a teeny tiny place with only 3,000 people. My gears started turning and I'm like, okay, this is a really special place. Like, how can I stay connected to it? And my husband and I were talking and he was actually telling me that he had a dream of building a cabin someday. So long story short, we usually come up to Ely and visit my parents and they have a home here, but my uncle lives here as well. And my uncle had texted me during COVID. It was in September of 2020. And he texted and said that one of his neighbors was selling an off-grid remote log cabin. And it was a very good deal. And we should probably come up and take a look if we're actually serious about doing the cabin thing. So we drove up and we toured it and then drove back the same day. And on our drive back to the city, we decided that we had to do it. We had to try and get the loan and try and figure it out and make it work, even though it seemed like it would be a challenge, but we really wanted to do it.
So was it off market before he even put it on the market?
Yeah. Ooh. So we actually bought it directly from the owner. And I'm really lucky. My dad is a realtor. So he drew up all the paperwork for us.
Boom, boom, boom. Bada bang. I love this.
Can we actually dig in that just a little bit? Because I think our listeners are going to be like, wait a minute, I need to know more about that. Since your dad was the realtor, did the seller bring a realtor to the table or was he okay with it being your dad and it being your realtor in that transaction?
He was okay with my dad doing all the paperwork. We signed all the paperwork at the title company, but yeah, I don't think he had any of his own realtor. He initially was like, he was definitely like trying to do it more of a for sale by owner, but he had said if we didn't purchase, he was going to list it the next week for a higher price.
Awesome.
Okay. And so how those negotiations go when it's you, the buyer, talking to the seller, did you negotiate with him? Did you just offer what he was asking? Talk to us about that behind the scenes.
Yeah, we didn't negotiate because it was actually such a good deal. I mean, I can tell you the price. I know that you ladies like to talk numbers and you'll probably be blown away by how cheap it was.
Give it to us.
So for 40 acres and a hand-built log cabin, it was $125,000.
Winner, wow. Winner. Love this. All right.
So what was the reason for that? Why was he giving it away, essentially?
He was done.
I know, right? Because he built it by hand and he put in all these hours.
Sweat equity.
Like an incredible feat. So I think it was more of like a personal choice for him because his connection to Ely was his ex-wife and he wasn't really using it anymore other than like maybe hunting with his dad once or twice a year. So it was kind of just sitting empty and he had a different cabin that he went to with his new wife. So yeah, it just wasn't in use and he kind of wanted to Let
just
it go.
Be done with it. So you were solving a problem for him.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not short-term renting it at all. It was just personal use.
Oh, no. No, no, no. It was, I mean, it's kind of funny to see some of the old photos. Like, I don't even know what they would have done if he had gone to the point of listing it, because it wasn't photogenic at all. Like, it was just a lot of like old random furniture, and it really was a hunting shack. Mm-hmm. So we had a lot of work to do.
You said when you were driving back to town, you decided, can you give us some visibility to the financing? Were you already working on securing a loan, or had you been saving for a while? What happened there with the actual purchase,
yeah,
the funds?
Yeah, so we decided we wanted to buy it. But then, of course, when we got home, we had to find a bank and find a lender. We were able to work with a local bank in Ely, and they said yes right away and gave us a really good rate. So we were lucky to have that. And then I think we had to put 20% down because it was a secondary home. But I'm lucky that my husband is more of a saver and he had that money. So we were able to make it work.
All right. Let's shout out your husband. What's his name? We'll give him some love.
His name is Ben.
All right, Ben.
Good job, Ben.
Good job, Ben. Ben was a saver, but you had the vision. Did you know right away that you wanted to turn it into a short-term rental?
No. So right away, like, we just wanted to have a place to call our own. And we love Ely, but we're also not, like, we don't love camping so much. Like, a lot of people come here and they camp and they're outside with the bugs and the weather and the rain and all that. But we kind of wanted, like, really comfy beds to sleep in. And then we can just go out and enjoy nature during the day. Anyways, that's why we were like, yes, a cabin is the thing for us.
When did you decide that you wanted to share it?
Oh, right. Your question. So that was our original vision, is that we would just use it for us. And then we were like, but we're only going to be here, I mean, maybe once a month, like one weekend a month, maybe once every other weekend. So that just seems like kind of a waste. And then I was listening to your podcast because I have another friend in Ely, McJoppa the Hut. She rents hers out. And I just started DMing her on Instagram. I actually started our Instagram just to like kind of show people the renovations before I had decided that it was going to be a rental, because I thought it would be a fun way to document. And her and I became friends on Instagram. She told me about your podcast. I started listening. And then I just realized like how much more potential there would be if I was able to share this place with others and how fun it could be. And I have kind of an entrepreneurial spirit. So I dove into the business part and haven't turned back.
Ooh, I love it. And did you have to have a long conversation with your husband about the short-term renting it, or was he on board from the beginning?
I don't think he ever said no. Like, once I make up my mind about something, he knows that I'm not.
He's like, I'm not
going to
fight
that.
Like,
I just charge forward. So I don't think he ever thought that.
So it sounds like you didn't really have a grand plan for revenue and what your occupancy rate was. It sounds like you were just wanting to share this and potentially make some additional income. Is that correct?
Yep. We had no idea at first. We were really nervous because it is off grid. So we knew that we'd probably have to charge way less than other places were charging, because it's also not on a lake. And in Minnesota, that's kind of like the epitome. Like, everybody thinks like the cabin has to be on a lake, and then it's a true vacation and they'll pay more for that too. Like, they want the lake views. So we really had no idea if it would even do well at all.
So spoiler alert, do people need to have a lake to make it worthwhile?
No, they do not. Like, we've been able to sell it as a unique experience, like on 40 acres. It has out the door hiking. We have all the trails labeled. We provide little trail maps, and we provide snowshoes in the winter so they can still hike in the winter. And I think it's really all about just how you're selling the experience.
Okay, wait. I think you're the first person we've ever interviewed that an amenity is snowshoes. I think maybe we said that about your STR share. What is off-grid? What does that mean to you? If I'm looking through, like, who define that? That's a good question because a lot of people
actually, like, it means different things to different people. So, like,
yeah, I think off-grid is no Wi-Fi. That's probably not correct, right?
I don't know.
So we actually have Wi-Fi. We have incredible.
What?
Yeah, we have Starlink satellite Wi-Fi, and it's amazing. I'm so happy that we were able to do that, because then we can provide that amenity for people who want to work remote. And it also helps us manage our solar system remote. And we can do like the Ring camera and all that.
Wait a minute. But
this does not sound off-grid at all. This sounds like you're all on the grid.
I have so many questions for you. Manage your solar system. Wait a minute. Okay.
Yeah.
So what is off the grid to you then, since it's not Wi-Fi?
So off-grid technically means that you're not connected to municipal power and utilities. So we have our own solar system. We have our own well, which we drilled. We have our own septic system. So nothing comes from the city.
Okay, now it sounds off-grid.
Completely self-sufficient.
Oh, wow. So you don't get an electric bill?
No. Yeah.
You get a water bill?
Nope.
Wait, you don't get an electric bill. You don't have a water bill. Do you pay taxes?
We do pay property taxes. Yep. But they're not too bad since it's not Lakeshore.
I mean, you're winning all over the place here. Okay. So off grid, I have to ask, because of the power and because of the water, does that Lindamore guest, you know, incidents, is the power great though? Is it super reliable? Is the water really reliable? It sounds like it gets really cold there. Does that mess with being off grid at all? Like, we're in a really cold time here in Ohio. Like, you have no one to call. So if the guests are calling you, have you encountered anything that's been a negative with the off the grid?
It is really cold here. At first, we didn't think we wanted to rent it out in the winter at all because there's just so many extra logistics with that. But over the last 2 years, we've learned a lot. And we knew that with the solar system, we knew that we had to have like a very reliable, self-sufficient system. So we have a backup generator that runs on propane, and that is automatic. So that kicks on if there's no sun, which is kind of the downside about being in northern Minnesota, is that there is not sun, you know, as much as there would be.
Yeah.
Especially in the winter, you might only have like 5 days of sunlight, and then it might be cloudy for 5 days straight as well. So we have a backup generator, and that has been a lifesaver for us. I mean, there have been issues where, you know, like the generator didn't start like it was supposed to. And it can be really stressful when you're remote because you have to call on someone who's local. And a lot of that has fallen on my uncle because he lives a mile away and he also lives off grid. So he has the skill set, but I also feel bad taking advantage of him because he doesn't want me to pay him and he doesn't want the job. I've offered it to him. I have to find other local people who are willing to be people I can call.
And I know our listeners want to know, how easy is it to get a cleaner to help you clean this off-grid cabin?
Yeah, that's actually not a problem. I get that question all the time, but we actually started with one cleaner and I think she would have been awesome, but she kept sending this other man who was on her team and he was not awesome and he just didn't clean to our standards. At that point, I was having my mom like be the inspector and she would show up and she'd spend like an hour or two basically cleaning because he wasn't doing the job. So that was causing a lot of extra stress for me because, you know, when you're in this business, your reviews rely on it. So I interviewed a bunch of other local cleaners. We have a Facebook group in Ely and it's called What's Up Ely. And you can like post in there, hey, looking for a cleaner, like anything you want to post in there. And I found one that she's amazing. Like she keeps an eye on the place and she'll text and call. And like she has that attention to detail. And she's even willing to sweep off our solar panels in the winter, which I'm so thankful for.
Yeah. Hopefully you gave her a holiday bonus for that.
I still plan to. I need to go buy her a massage.
Well, here's your reminder.
Yes. Oh, thank you.
Well, it's funny because I actually was just at my parents for the holiday and their neighbor has solar power. And there was snow on it. And I was like, is that a problem over there? Like when there's snow on the solar panels, can you see that? You said you got the solar system on your app. Can you check on the power remotely?
Yeah, so we can check on how much is being used and how much is available. I don't have a camera pointing at the panels. I don't have anything high tech enough. I think that could be a potential future thing to do, but it also might just give me extra anxiety. Like, nobody's cleaning the panels right now. Like, they need to clean them. So, I don't know.
If it kicks over to the propane, is that pricey to go to the generator? Isn't that like 3 or 4 times what just electricity would be?
Yes, the propane is pricey. And so I'll tell you a story of like one of the most stressful hosting moments. So last winter, I was on a trip in Mexico and I got a text from my cleaner. She's like, the cabin has gone cold. Like there is no heat in the cabin. The fireplace won't turn on because our primary source of heat is a propane fireplace, which usually works great and it keeps it toasty warm and it's like super cozy. People love the fire to look at too. But she's like, the cabin has gone completely cold. And we have another guest checking in at 4 p.m. And like through process of elimination, I figured out that our propane tank was empty. And you can't just call and get it filled immediately. They have like a 7 to 10 day wait time. Oh. And like also with the solar system, like our batteries could be completely destroyed too if they get too cold. And obviously you can't accept guests when the cabin is cold. So it was like, I was in the airport in Mexico, like bad cell service, like trying to find a quiet corner. Like I had to call the emergency line for the propane company and they were able to go out within like 2 or 4 hours.
Wow.
But you pay like an extra $200 service fee for that. And then once they filled it, the guest arrived and they were like cold that whole night. And I just felt horrible, but I didn't know what to do. I was like, you can make tea and hot chocolate and I'll give you a discount. And I feel so bad. And they like put a bunch of blankets on and they were really good sports about it. But that was one of the scariest hosting moments.
How did you reimburse them? I know a lot of our listeners always wonder, is it a full reimbursement? Is it a partial? How did you come up with that number?
I just reimbursed them for that first night. Then the cabin was able to heat up overnight. And I offered them, if you want to stay somewhere else tonight, I understand, like we can help pay for that. But they wanted to stay and they were good sports about just cozying up.
I think if you're doing the booking at an off-grid property, you might have a little bit of anticipation that things could be off-grid.
Hosts don't let hosts pay full price for their short-term rental decor, furniture, or supplies. They just don't. But don't worry. If you are, we got you covered. We'd love to introduce you to Manoan.
Manoan has partnered up with over 200 brands to give us hosts direct access to steep discounts. These are brands like CB2, West Elm, Article, Pollywood. If you haven't heard of them, they have amazing outdoor furniture. And also Fellow, we love their electric kettles, but there is so much more.
And instead of signing up for 200 plus trade discount programs, all you need to do is join Manoan for free, get approved, make sure you just show up as the caring, thoughtful host you already are and you'll be in. And then you can shop from one website and track all your purchases and deliveries in one centralized place.
Sarah, I know you love the one centralized place. Instead of having 15 different tabs open trying to figure out when that shipment's going to end up at the front door.
Absolutely.
And if you help spread the good word, you can earn credits towards your next Manoan order. Talk about a win, 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 all the wins. So head on over to ManoanExperience.com to learn more. That's Manoan, M-I-N. OANExperience.com and tell them TFE sent you.
So let's talk about your 75% occupancy all year round. What do you attribute that to? Is it that you offer this off-grid experience that other people in Ely don't offer? Or what do you think it is?
Yeah, I think part of it is that it's a unique experience and it's also how we market it. So like we try to like be like really upfront about exactly what you're getting into and explain to people how it's different from anything else that they might experience. Like we play up the nature aspect, like you're more connected with nature and you have all this privacy, like you're coming to the woods to get away and to have privacy. And then like also just having the Instagram and being able to market ourselves so we're not only relying on Airbnb to send us those leads. I mean, that's been huge. And then we've also worked with a lot of influencers and they've been really good for us too.
So what's your biggest tip with influencers? What has worked the best for you with those relationships? And what would you advise against if you could do it again, you wouldn't do again?
I think it's about having more of a niche local influencer that's been more helpful for us. So most of our guests are like only going to travel from max 4 hours from the Twin Cities. Like most of our guests do come from the Twin Cities. So having influencers from the Twin Cities, but also influencers who are like travel or outdoorsy or in the realm of what we're offering, they've been a huge success. And then another tip is like just being really clear up front with them, like via email, what exactly they're offering, like how many posts they're going to offer. That's been really helpful for us. We've had some who have reached out and they're like, hi, I'm from Texas. I'm a news reporter. Like I'm going to Minnesota to visit my family. Can I stay? And I just don't think that that's going to be quite as successful. So we don't necessarily work with those ones.
The off the cuff type offers.
No off the cuff and off the grid. When you're doing the, I'm going to say quote unquote contract via email, what the expectations are,
Are they paying for the stay? Are you discounting the stay? What's the financial trade-off with the influencers?
Yeah, so we've been really lucky. Like, we don't need a huge audience. So we've been able to find influencers that have maybe even 3,000 to 15,000 followers, but they're like really that localized niche audience. Mm-hmm. And they're willing to do it for free. So that's great for us. Like, we just have to pay our cleaner fee. I am seeing, and I am friends with some of the local influencers in that realm too. And they're all kind of now starting to charge, but they're also all getting bigger audiences. And then one charges and that allows another to charge. So I think it is changing a little bit. I've gotten quotes from some recently because we're building a new cabin right now and I'm going to have to start promoting that one really soon. But I've gotten quotes from some who also are photographers and they can also offer that. And they'll charge like maybe five or 600 and they want to stay for two or three nights.
Okay. Yeah. What's up with these new cabins? Are they going to be off-grid?
So we're building a new one and it's actually not off-grid. Originally...
Treasure trade. Does your uncle know this?
Yeah. So we wanted something that would just be a little bit easier and more self-sufficient for a rental. So like this one, I'm like, if we're starting from scratch, like everything can just be planned out and planned perfectly for a rental. And it won't be so much of that stressors for me. And also being in a small town, like there aren't a lot of people who know solar. Our solar system was installed by a friend from the Twin Cities, but he can't come up anytime there's an issue to troubleshoot it. So I wanted something that would just be really straightforward and easy. And it'll be really interesting to see how the occupancy compares in the new modern cabin compared to the rustic off-grid log cabin.
Where do you think the solar technology is today? Do you think as good as it can be for your pocketbook and for the environment potentially too, do you think it is where people think it is, or is it still really hard to navigate, especially if you're not in the middle of a city? You obviously chose to make your new cabin on the grid. And I know you have to still see how that data comes in terms of like who you're selling to and how they perceive it. But how do you think the whole solar industry is right now? If someone's considering right now going solar, what would you say to them?
I think it's becoming a lot more affordable. So if they live in a place that it's like more of a city or like there's access to solar techs, I mean, unless you're going to completely DIY it like we did, otherwise you're going to hire a company to do it. And I think it can be like a really nice way to just eliminate that ongoing utility bill. Mm-hmm. And like we've been able to sell it as a sustainable experience. And our guests seem to really love that.
Mm-hmm. True. You can also do a double up there for sure.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
The solar. I want to see the phone though and what it shows. That's really what I'm interested in. Because I just love this juxtaposition of it's off the grid, but there's so much technology behind it.
Yes.
It's interesting for sure. We gave some metrics with your Instagram following, but I really want to dig into this email list because that is so valuable. How did you acquire these emails and how are you corresponding with your guests? Can you talk to us about that? I know a lot of our listeners want to get into direct booking and just communicating and getting, you know, their guests back in. What's your strategy there?
Yeah. So we just keep it really simple. We use a MailChimp and I have a link tree in our Instagram bio and that link tree just has a little input field and it says join our email list and you can enter it right there and it goes directly into our MailChimp list. I've been collecting emails since the start because I knew that I wanted to build a business and I don't send in a large amount of emails because I don't want to spam people or make people get annoyed, but I mostly only send an email when there's a last minute cancellation. So that's kind of the call to action that I have in the link in bio. It says get notified if there's a last minute cancellation. And I think most of our subscribers have come because of our Instagram. I love being able to do links in Instagram stories too, because a lot of times if I'm about to send an email, I'll do a little precursor in the story and say, hey, like you might want to get in on this information that's coming to our email subscribers. Click this link here. Make sure you get on the list before I send the email tomorrow.
Have you found when you send out the, we've had a cancellation, are you getting it booked pretty quickly from your email list?
Oh yeah. Yes. Especially if it's a weekend, like it gets booked up, snatched up right away.
Love that. That's a hosting hot tip, everybody. Use that immediately. And actually go ahead and I hope
I'm not going to flood you, but go ahead and join their email list so you can see how she's making this happen. So I'm going to use you as a marketing.
Please, please do.
Okay. I might not book, but
I do love how you're taking your business off the grid in terms of not relying on Airbnb for all of your leads because you want to be more sustainable. Do you like the theme I'm going with here?
Got it.
Let's talk about you building. So you've renovated this one. You've done some work to it to make it to where you wanted it to be for your vision, for your brand, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're building, you built another one and then you're currently building one. Is that correct?
Yeah. So, okay. So the 40 acres that we originally bought had the log cabin and then it also had a historic log cabin. It was 100 years old. It was just kind of plopped onto the land and it was being used as a woodshed. So we hired my brother-in-law to renovate that one for us. Last May, he had to come do a new roof and all new doors and just a lot of cleaning up. And it's a really cute little, we call it like a bunkhouse, I guess. And it just has a queen bed in it. So that one I'm legally only allowed to rent to the same group. And that's part of the county. Because it's residential, we're not allowed to have multiple groups on the same property, even though it has a separate road. So I haven't rented that one out yet. So the plan is like starting this summer and I'm not going to deal with that one in the winter. Like I'm not going to put a fireplace in there or any of that. So we'll see if guests want to add that on as like an extra little sleeping quarters this summer.
We can workshop this right now if you don't mind. So what is your plan for that? Like how will you only offer that in the summer? Is it going to be a separate product that you'll have like a listing and then you'll connect the calendars? Will it be an up? Like in your listing, you'll say, if you'd like, you can upgrade to this extra bedroom that is down the way. How do you foresee this happening?
Yeah, I'd love to get your thoughts. So I'm thinking that I'm going to use our direct booking site. We use Lodgify. I was thinking of just putting it on there as an add-on the same way we have our pet fee. Mm-hmm. So it'll say, book the little bunkhouse for an extra $100 a night. And then they change their quantity for however many nights. I think that'll be pretty straightforward. Airbnb, I probably just have to have it in the listing description. And then if they're interested, they can message about it and I can add that on in the resolution center.
Does the bunkhouse have a bathroom?
Nope. So that's going to be completely off-grid. So it will have a little outhouse next to it. But otherwise, the idea is that they kind of go up to the main cabin, cook their meals there with their group. They can use the restroom and shower there.
This is interesting because in inside of our membership, we just answered and workshopped the same exact question for someone that has not so much a bunkhouse, but they have something in there on their property and they're trying to figure out exactly, I think they used it as an office prior and they're trying to figure out how do you put that in the listing? How do you make sure it's hospitable for guests? And mainly, how do you describe it? And is it good for kids? Is it good for adults? Like the safety of it also. So I know that there, and we have experience with someone that had a, it was a bunkhouse, right?
And yeah. It's more of a luxury cabin and it's like, you know, I don't know, just a few steps out the back
maybe
door.
20 yards or something.
Yeah. What are your thoughts there? Do you have like a vision of who you don't want to stay in there? Like, could they send the kids off to that bunkhouse?
Is it too far away or too dark?
Right. Yeah. How does that work?
Yeah. I mean, I would be fine with that if the kids aren't afraid. It's kind of far away. So I would say maybe like teenagers would be comfortable. I think little kids would be too scared because you're off alone in the woods.
Yeah. Right.
So that cabin is a part of the other one. That's a bunkhouse addition. But then the new cabin, is it going to be just, how many people can your cabins hold?
So Ely Log Cabin sleeps up to 6 and then the little bunkhouse will sleep up to 2. And then we have a new piece of land, a new 22 acres. And that is where we're building Aurora Modern Cabin, which will sleep 4. And then on that land, we've also prepped the site for a second modern cabin, but we're probably not going to build that one until summer 2024. We want to just wait off instead of jumping right into it in summer 2023. We want to wait and see what the occupancy is and save up money too.
So you just slid this in there. Did you just buy 22 more acres of land?
So we bought that in May.
Oh, yeah. Congrats. Wait, was that on the market? How did you find that land?
So that one, my dad's friend owned it and we did kind of an interesting setup. My dad bought 62 acres from his friend. It was zoned commercial because my dad's retirement plan is to build a storage facility on a portion of it. And then my dad technically sold us 22 acres, but the way that he did it, he like put it into the LLC and the bank was willing to take that as a down payment. So we didn't have to put any down payment for our construction loan at all.
Okay, listeners, we didn't anticipate this being part of the episode, but if you want to, like, this is some creative financing and just finding deals off market extraordinaire here.
I love that all of your deal finding has been from someone you know already. Great uncle, dad, which just goes to show you, listeners, that I do this myself still, is I discount my own circle.
Your own family? Your own blood?
Family.
This is her blood.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know the last time I said, like, hey, we're looking to buy. You know, friends, family, is anyone selling? Like, here's what I'm looking. You know what I mean? So I love that. That's how you found your deals. That's pretty good.
Yeah. And are the 40 acres or 22 acres, are they close together at all? Or?
Yeah, they're a mile and a half apart.
Oh, perfect.
So we love the area because it's right by both of the state parks. Like, it's literally as close as you could be to the state park. So it's just perfect location for visitors.
Wonderful. Love it.
So you're off the grid property. How do you guys handle the laundry?
Good question. Yeah. Our cleaner is willing to take it home and do it at home. So I don't even know what we would do if that wasn't an option. That was one of the reasons I wanted our new cabin to be on the grid, because I wanted to have a washer and dryer in unit, and like the solar system wouldn't be able to handle that.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's your backup for your backup? What if your cleaner gets sick or she gets stuck? Do you have a plan?
Mom and dad are going over there, and the uncle and the brother-in-law. They're all on the property, right?
No, she has a team, which is why I love her. So she has a business partner. So if she ever can't make it, she'll call on her business partner first. There's been one time where she asked me, she's like, anyway, you can just ask your mom to do today. Like, I need to go out of town for a funeral. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. Like, I'll ask my mom.
Yeah, I love that. So it's a team. It really is a team effort, not just with her team and your team, but you two together are working as a team to get it done. That's how you know that partnership is
solid,
pretty good.
Yeah,
that's pretty awesome. Okay, what's ahead for you? So you build this one. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. How many do you plan to have? Are you guys dreaming and scheming of owning all of Ely, or what's the deal?
I think probably four will be our max. I think that's all I can really manage. And I also don't want to take over the hotel. Like, I want to save some for other people.
And do you and your husband work full time?
Yeah. So I work full time in marketing consulting. Mm-hmm. And then he works full time managing a totally different business. It's in Minneapolis. It's a fitness and co-working space.
Oh, that's right. I read that in your bio. So you guys have the background there on the property. Awesome. We'd love to share that with our audience of that. You can grow your portfolio, still work full time, and do all the things. So, love that.
Do you guys still go see your cabin every 4 to 6 weeks?
Not as often. I mean, we don't really block off time for ourselves necessarily anymore. But now that we have a few, I think it'll just be rotating which one we end up going to. And I'll be curious to see which one feels like my favorite, like the one that I actually want to get away at.
I did have one last question. I don't know if it has any more, but my last question to you is, okay, you bought it when COVID was rearing its really ugly head and people didn't want to go to hotels and off the grid was super attractive and people were getting into this like drivable destination situation. We understand what COVID is. We're living with it. Have you noticed any travel changes with your clientele, with your leads? Are they still coming in hot? Are you having to change your marketing strategy to make sure you're still attracting people to come stay? What are you? Because people are worried. So what are you seeing?
Yeah, I've been super curious about how that'll play out as well. But so far, we're still at like probably 75-80% at Ely Log Cabin. So I'm not worried about that yet. Once we have two or three cabins, it'll be interesting to see if that occupancy drops off. I mean, Ely will always be a tourist destination and it'll always be a great driving option for families who want to get away for a long weekend. So I'm not too worried about that, but...
Right. You said it's only 4.5 hours from the Twin Cities, right?
It's just a little bit under 4 hours.
Oh, that's
so you
perfect.
Can do it in a weekend.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. I love that. And yeah, I mean, if you build it and it's an experience in itself, whether it's off the grid or whatever it is that you're offering, you can clearly convey that. I mean, vacation rentals have been around for forever.
I do have one more question.
Yeah, go for it.
The gentleman that sold you the property, do you think he would have feelings about you renting it to others?
Yeah, I've been curious about that too.
Not that it matters because he's not the owner anymore, but did you... Well, I guess you didn't really know you were going to rent it, but I'm just wondering if he knew it was potentially going to be... Some people have a lot of feelings about, you know...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because it was his baby and he built it from the ground up and it's just a beautiful space. So I hope that he's able to see like people love and appreciate it. I don't know how he feels about like all the marketing of it, because for him, it was just like a total off-grid, like getaway, you know, like it had nothing to do with like advertising and commercialism. But right. Yeah, I don't know. I could ask him if I ever run into him.
Yeah, I see it as, oh my gosh, so many people are being able to enjoy the space that he built. But yes, mm-hmm. People are like, no, I want to keep it sacred and no one, you know, people don't want anybody to know about their little secret or whatever. But he sold it, so it's yours. So you can do whatever right. you want with it. Oh, I love that. A couple of things. We want to thank you for just following along on Instagram using our hashtag, reaching out to us to share your story. Is there anything that you want to leave with our listeners at all?
Yeah, I'm super passionate about helping other hosts who want to go off grid or they want to build from scratch. So if anybody has questions, they can send me a DM and we can set up a phone call and chat. Yeah, I'd love to help people out.
Cool.
That's amazing. That. We will put all of your information in our show notes. So listeners, if you want to dive in and reach out to Addie, we will make sure that she is accessible. And thank you for being an amazing host. Thank you for getting creative and tapping into the solar and off the grid experience. It just proves that you don't have to be like everyone else and doing all the same things. Sometimes not offering things yes. is an amenity.
Absolutely.
So that's very cool. With that, I am Sarah Kirkane.
I am Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for visiting.
We'll talk to you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us, it's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.